Okay, page 174. Yeah. Okay, Parshas Toldos. So over here it says we have a case where Yitzchak and Rivka couldn't have children, and it came out derech Neis. So it came derech Neis through Tefillah. So the Ran here is going to explain what exactly happened. How does a Neis work through Tefillah? So Ran says, so the Pasuk is telling us, first of all, there was the conception was not tiviistic. It came through Tefillah. See, that's a problem, the Ran. He says, Rivka lo nafli Yitzchak b'mikra, abu isha shechir Hashem elav, kasharin Eliezer. He says, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Rivka as the wife for Yitzchak. I mean, the whole parasha of Chayisara tells you that this was like Meis Hashem Yatzadava. So he says, Ve'ech somach l'girl Yitzchak akede isha kar. So I don't understand, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the one woman for Yitzchak that can't have children? You know, it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a hemshech of this, and this is what he wants, and we pick somebody who has no children? So he says, Ki efshe shiusha bezel mashamu razal, v'akboli vintar shashem yitzchak mis'avot v'ashan tzadikim. The only answer for this must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it for tzadikim. Ki beze yikar v'melov, l'mashet yis'achid ha'nefesh in b'ira, ki tar b'tfila mashlo yale. So the first point the Ran says is, and this is an important point in terms of understanding tefillah. Let's give an example. Imagine you have some sort of stucker case that you're dealing with, and the person needs, let's say, $10,000 a year. So the most convenient setup for you is a check once a year for $10,000, and that way he doesn't bother you more, that way you minimize the need to interact, and that's really the most convenient way to do it. Let's say, on the other hand, you have a kid that's gone off to yeshiva, college, and he needs $10,000 a year, and if giving him a lump sum of $10,000 is, and tell him, basically, and therefore, he's not going to keep contacting you, is that what you want? So you give it to him in small increments, so each time you can go up and say, hi, I sent the money, did you get it, tell me if you got it, how's everything? The bakasha part of it means that it keeps tying you back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And tefillah, when somebody comes, let's give another mashal. If somebody comes to me with a bakasha for something, he wants something, so and by talking to me, he'll get it from me. So the talking and asking are really the means to get whatever it is that he wanted. But it's the other way around. I like the person's company, and I say, would you like to go out for dinner, whatever it is? The dinner is the chetimtza to be together. Tefillah, in its real form, is not a way of letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu know what it is that we need because he's forgotten or just overlooked it. Tefillah is there because when a person recognizes a need that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can fulfill, and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a keshe between the two. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a woman that will need tefillah in order to have a child, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in his interaction with Yitzchak. That's one. Now, the second point. But Amnon Mesha'ama L'Nochach Yishto. It says Lenochach Ishto, Darsha Bo Sherivka Ispala Gav Kem Yitzchak Vayet Aloy Vleila. So Chazal Darshan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Yitzchak more readily than Rivka. Why? So he says, Adar Hapshat Ashmi Nimvu Kem Ishtane V'im Yishtane Rech Pela Yuchen Rishayna L'Dova Shishtane Eilov Lo She'ate K'inina Zetze B'Teva. So he says, the klal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he makes a nes, he doesn't make the nes on, let's give a simple example, and then we'll work it out. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say we have a bit of water, like Mayim Amarim, like Meimara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't drink it. It's not that Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes our body, that we can, that drinking bitter water will make us, will give us what we need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the bitterness. When Sarah, for instance, when Sarah wasn't able to have children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make a nes that a woman without a womb will have a child. The nes HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was that her womb would go back again to being young and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nisim need to dechal in a way that they change the background so that now you can have what you wanted. So Lamasha, let's say a person needs parnasa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not make it that a check just comes in the mail. You'll make it that you now get accepted for work because there's a boss that needs your particular skill or whatever it is, or your particular lack of skill. So he says over here like this, therefore, kilu toima, ki rifka den al mezga rishon, as they're being mispallowed, Rifka is davening, I want a child. Yitzhak is davening, I want Rifka to be able to have a child. Val hakovet severa kelim amachayv ma'akas kabal zeroyim. It's not that she had the children as a woman who physically can't have children, anything. So what Kosh Baruch Hu did, Yitzchak's tefillah was more to have a wife that could have children, so her kalim changed in a way that they could have children, and that could work. So his second point is, the tefillah is always chal in a way that minimizes the final nes. Third point that he makes, the calls on the b'mtzos mashpiyim, he makes another point. There's the things that happen in this world, there's a whole chain of events that are happening from Elyonim down to Tachtonim. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works through Kochos Elyonim, through some sort of higher Kochos, call it Malachim, call it Sphiris, whatever you want, and it wends its way down until it becomes the physical reality, and the physical world is the cause and effect, and slowly it becomes a physical reality that becomes rain for us or whatever it is. So the changes happen as high up in the chain as possible. Like, let's take a look by Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his name so that the mazel changed, and then it slowly came down to where we were. And that's what he says over here. But omna, ima iyan atoyim imatsi mechuyev vuhu, kefshare bebchinas yisiboisav yoshev mechuyev. What happens is, at a point where something is a possibility, it now becomes a definite. Ki ilu toyma. For instance, she readeth hamata biyemochadav afshare. Rain tomorrow is possible. But if you show me that all of the ingredients necessary are in line, all the ducks are lined up, that the vapors have gone up already, and the temperature's right, and so on, so that which was possible becomes definite. So in order for something to take place, that which is above it, the cause of it must change, and the cause of the cause. And therefore, if you keep going upwards, can we see as cool a nixak aspect also? Well, the Amr, in line with this, we have it says Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nifrei Me'uma Ad Shenifrei Hatchila. Hakadosh Baruch Hu first, when he wants to punish a nation, he punishes the gods. So the gods we're talking about here are not their idols, but the gods we're talking here are their the higher kochos that govern them. So he says, Kihem b'roi v'yavdul mashpi'ehem, v'ima mashpi'im ha'mazin chayim madrichim oizim tzayim l'shanu klal, gam hi ta'uz b'muzom l'itavirim adei kein, and l'tichal eshar atoim chomachzikam. So he says, when we're talking about the gods that nations worship, they tend to focus on those higher kochos, those mazolos and so on, and therefore, that's what Kachbaruch doesn't like to interrupt the process in the middle, because that would be interfering with the sort of the natural world. He likes to go as high up as is possible and change things over there. I want to add something about this. This is possibly the explanation for what we call skulos. Skulos are things that Chazal mentioned, or that you know, we've picked up over the Doros, that don't have a natural explanation. They don't work for the laws of nature. So the question is, so where does it work? I mean, where is it working? It's not. The word skula means that it's something that we can't prove it doesn't have any, not a question of proving. It's something that doesn't operate because of natural things. Saying all sorts of weird things that the Gemara brings. So the answer is it operates at some point higher in what he calls Olam HaSolyonos. Do we know exactly why something affects something else? No idea. But Lamai said that's what it does. And therefore, it interrupts the process or stimulates the process somewhere higher. That's what's called a skula. Okay, now one more point he makes here, final point. Kasha yitukun gamkin inyaz in nivra, yitztarech shefa shofer lov mitakin yonah b'mtsos lo nisharehu. So he says, when something happens to a person, min hashamayim, how it happens, we're not sure. Avol ki yovah tikim etza eze matir, but when someone's davening on you, nira shia matir emtsoi bo'isa shefa shofer tzuso, yoha shi'ati ba'adoi. He says the role of the one davening is to become sort of a bridge for shefa to be chal on the person. He says this later on, actually, when you speak about the brachas, what exactly is a mevarech? That's the end of the parasha, and he explains a mevarech being someone who is it's not nevuah, it's not tefillah, really, it's sort of a bridge for a shefa to be chal. And therefore, he says when Eliyahu had the Ben Yisrael Manatzar first come alive, he says he smited Eliyahu Shalosh Pamim, he laid down three times on the child. Elisha also laid down on him. Yaakov, it says, Kochem la Eliyahu Baruch Hashem Levi, put his hands on them. Behold the Merik Hashem from Muchalam Isbarach from Tzotzam Mevarech from Ispalom. In other words, the reason why we need a physical closeness is because the bracha happens, in other words, it somehow works through the mevarach mispalel. And that's why you should be close to him physically, or some other kesher. In other words, just like Yitzhak said to Esav, bring me something good to eat, and I'll give you a bracha, because you want a closeness. So pleasing somebody and bringing him nachas ruach is a certain closeness. V'lachach chen oma ki Yitzchok heti l'nochach ishtoi k'dei sheichavne l'odaita yoyseh v'tasik shefa itak n'gufa etzene v'tchun z'akrus. That's why it says nochach ishto, meaning in relationship to his wife. In other words, he stood in a way that was opposite, but opposite meaning close. It's like when I face you. So lonocha would mean I face you because I want the connection. And that's why he said it'll be more matzliach, because be yisikar ben abimakar. And this is really the inyan why it's tzaddikim, by chassidim, there's a big inyan of kirva to the Rebbe, things that we sometimes were a bit uncomfortable with, the truth is, if a person sees it as the way of being close to a Mevarek who's bringing down a Shefa, it's perfectly well. The problem starts when you begin to fix it on the Rebbe, and in other words, forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. But the closeness itself has a makom. A Mevarek needs to feel close. And that's one of the reasons why going to get a bracha from somebody you don't know, you have no connection with, is not nearly as effective to someone where the person feels a deep connection. The word bracha comes from the word, Chassidim have it all over, lahavrich asakfanim. When you have different plants, one of the ways to make it, to propagate it, to grow more, is you take an existing branch, you put it into the ground, I think it's called a runner, if I'm not mistaken, and it will start growing in its own right. So you bend over one of the branches, stick it into the ground, it will take root, and then there will be a new plant growing out. And there's a shayla by the Gaba Arla, you count nutrias or not, because it's part of the whole plan. But what you do is, that's called lahavir zakfanim. It's like, it comes from the word, I guess, the word berech means a knee. It means you're bending it over. So in a certain sense, I guess, it's as if somebody higher is bending over and reaching out to you. That's a bracha. So Mimela, the Indian of Kirva is very important. Next piece is a piece of the Drash Havan also about the Shnei Goyim Bevitneich. So he explains the unique relationship of Esav to Yaakov in a way that is very different than the relationship of It's very different than the relationship of other Umas Ha'olam and Klal Yisrael or Tov and Ra. So it says like this. It says Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, Ulo'oyim Ulo'oyim Yemat V'Rabi Ratzor, and so on. It says that each nation struggles with the other nation. They say, the pasuk says, I will fill the one that is destroyed. Yerushalayim and Rome cannot both be great. Why Edom more than all other goyim? Is it an either or proposition, either Klal Yisrael or Edom? Machateisa. Avuzel atzachek asafti in Pesavus Bio vehu. Kimitzad shein goyror sheikane beYaakov. Yeefshes sheyim shomem shel Rav gam yizman shel Yisrael. Being that there's no direct jealousy, no goy feels. No Uma feels that they're at loggerheads with Yaakov per se. So as long as they're off to a side, they can have a great Malchus. If Frenchmen live in France and have French culture and speak their language, what's it to call Yisrael? Kedavan Imoy. Ach Esav ha-Bechoyr u-Nachlosoi Yis'ab ha-Lemor Gam ani Yerish Etzer Ke'avach ha-Bekulonu U-Mezeh Yechuyev Moita Esav Ke'am Yaakov. Esav is the one, he's struggling on the same Malchus as Klal Yisrael is. Let's talk about this a minute, let's consider it. I'll give you an example. Let's say I'm a mathematician and I have all sorts of very important theories in math. Controversial, but important theories. Someone else is in music and history. They're different, and one has nothing to do with the other. But let's say on the same theory that I'm working, someone else is working, and he has an opposite approach, or he thinks it's wrong, then it's either I'm right or he's right. The more the arena of our struggle is a common ground, the more it's an either-or proposition. Umas HaOlam went in two directions. In the sense that Umas HaOlam are not Klal Yisrael. So one direction is they went off to an angle. Instead of pursuing math, they pursue music. So instead of being over Hashem, they're over something else. A koach, a this, a that. That doesn't require any type of it doesn't contradict, and the pieces can click in harmony. But when the question is, what is the point of being Eved Hashem? When you're talking about something that's very to the core of it, who is the right God? Then it's very, very, it's either or. I can even let's be a little more specific, and let's understand the other umos, the avodah zara of other umas is avodah zara. It's a koach in the bria that is not a kodesh baruch hu, and therefore it's off to a side. If they understand that the wind or the sun or this or that is part of a bigger picture, and it's just a koach from Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're okay. But the Christians, their belief is that it's our religion, but it's been turned over. In other words, by being on the same axis as we are, the same idea, and making a U-turn, they're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu metamorphosized to Avodah Zarah. That's a much, much more powerful, and that's what Rome represents. In many ways, I don't have time to be marach now, all other umos had a particular angle, but Rome tried to include all the umos on the Memshallah. The Hedya, not just because they want the congruence, because they want to be all-inclusive, which is a tchuna ka Yisrael. So he says, Ve'omnam, Moit Yaakov lo'imashon estasos Esav. Yaakov doesn't, you know, now, which is the active element, which is the passive element, which one causes which? He says, Yaakov doesn't collapse because Esav became strong, but Esav became strong from Yaakov's collapse, meaning we, Klal Yisrael, have the ability in which direction to go. So he says, and we're the one who make that turn, yes or not, and Esav follows along. We don't have much time, so I'm going to kind of skim through the next two or three paragraphs in the Ran. He explains in Vayishlach, it says, Ve'elam lochem shemol b'aretz Edom lifnei melech melech me'Yisrael, that in Edom they had kings before they had kings in Klal Yisrael. In other words, because Klal Yisrael didn't have its act together, that's what Edom was sholeit. When Klal Yisrael had got its act together, that's when Edom dissipated. In Bayesheni, he says Edom was under the Klal Yisrael. There were Edomite tribes, and we were sholeit on them. And then he touches on one more point. What is Rome exactly? Edom, Rome. There are three phrases that Edom were tribes that lived in southeast as Israel. That's where Edom lived. It's like a bottom of Jordan, kind of. That's quite far from Rome. Chazal call Rome Italia shel Yavin. Italy and Greece are two separate peninsulas. They're not at all the same country. So he says like this to Rav. Ki kvadunu abaseinu yoyseinu begolos adoyim. Ki im he yoys asherim achtzeves raveinu. Vehi mechlal eretz yavon. So even though it was part of Yavon at one time, v'shetigim unkelos v'tzimiat kitim v'sion distachron miroimoi. V'kitim echad v'de yavon. So Rome, in terms of its shoresh, it comes from Yavon. That's one piece of it. Im kol zeh says melacha shemolchu b'yadoyim. The kings that ruled over Rome came from Edom. V'yibesoichem me'edom amrav, and they had a lot of Edomites. Kamesha Maturgam, Pakana Benefas Edoim, Aser Avisech Remi Rishriya, the Mispania Bitalia, Maikhuzme Edoim. So the Targum says that the Rome became filled with Edom. Hine ze mashemir eyu b'mashavaleinu min hazman b'yin Edom kibetzo shenzbarach matu zeinu matu yodoi u'bshifleinu v'daveinu rasas gav ad lahashchis. So basically, so it's Rome that is our enemy. Rome is our nemesis, and our fortunes and Rome's fortunes must be in inverse proportion to each other. And Edom, in terms of the content, is the shoresh of Rome. That's what the Rambam says here. Okay, well, hold on.